Chapter 9. Remarriage in Old Age. Counsel to Joseph Hare, Sr. Dear Brother Hare, I will say in regard to your first letter received in the mail before the last, I have no special light upon this subject and cannot give you information upon the point that interests you. I advise you to consult with Wesley Hare and his wife, as they know the one you have in mind and would be the proper counselors. I know, as you say, that you must be lonely in your old age, and if there is one whom you could love and who would reciprocate that love, I see no objection. But as I do not know the lady you have in mind, I cannot speak as could one who knows both parties. One thing is certain. You know that he whom you have served for many years will be to you a safe counselor. Rest your case with him who never makes a mistake. Our time now, both yours and mine, is short, and we need to be ripening for the future immortal life. Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14, verse 1-3. Let us rejoice in this, and take on just as few worries as possible. The invitation to old and young is, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. Thank the Lord, with heart and soul and voice, that there is a haven of rest, sweet rest. It is your privilege, and it is my privilege, to accept the invitation and rest. We want now that our remnant of life should be as free as possible from every perplexity and care, that we shall have repose in the life of Christ. "My yoke," he says, "is easy, and my burden is light." The Lord will not disappoint any who put their trust in him. He will be first and last and best in everything to us. He will be a present help in every time of need. In these last days of service, we shall be held and led and protected by the power of Christ. May the Lord bless and strengthen you, that your last days may be your best days, fragrant with the softening, subduing influence of his love. The Lord bless and keep you and give you repose in his love is my most earnest desire for you, my brother. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, 31-33. Advice to Andrews. I advised you to marry before you returned the last time to Europe for these reasons. First, you needed a wife to care for you, and you should not have taken your family to Europe without a good companion to be a mother to your children, that these children might not in all things bear the stamp of your mind and be molded according to your ideas. Your mind is not equally balanced. You need another element brought into your labors that you do not possess, and that you do not understand is really essential. Your ideas have been erroneous to preserve your life as a widower, but on this point I will say no more. The influence of a noble Christian woman of proper capabilities would have served to counteract the tendencies of your mind. The ability of concentrativeness, the intense light in which you view everything of a religious character connected with the cause and work of God, has brought upon you depression of spirits, a weight of anxiety that has weakened you physically and mentally. If you had been connected with one who would have opposite feelings, who would have ability to turn your thoughts away from gloomy subjects, who would not have yielded her individuality, but have preserved her identity and had a molding influence upon your mind, you would today have had physical strength and power to resist disease. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, 34. You remember I wrote you from Texas to obtain a wife before you returned to Europe. Do you suppose I would have given you such advice if I had no light upon the matter? Be assured, no such counsel would have been given you without good reason. I was shown that you follow your own judgment and your own ideas altogether too tenaciously. If you were more willing to be counseled by those you should confide in, and trust less to your own feelings and impressions, the result for yourself and for the cause of God would be far better. I was shown that you made a mistake in starting to Europe without a companion. If you had, before starting, selected you a godly woman who could have been a mother to your children, you would have done a wise thing, and your usefulness would have been tenfold to what it has been. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, 34-35. Remarriage of Haskell. Elder Haskell's first wife died in 1894. In 1897, when he remarried, he was 64, and his new wife, Hetty Hurd, was 40. We received Brother Haskell's letter the evening after the Sabbath. We were glad to hear from you that your interests are united as one. May the Lord bless this union, that you may be a strength and support to one another at all times. May the peace of God rest upon you is my sincere desire and earnest prayer. Go, stand and speak to the people all the words of this life. Acts 5, verse 20. I am pleased, Brother Haskell, that you have a helper, Mrs. Haskell. This is that which I have desired for some time. The work in which we are engaged has made us one in Christ Jesus to diffuse the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is your privilege to have happiness in your new relation to each other, in ministering the gospel to those who are in darkness and error. We can sympathize and unite in the grand work that you and I love, and which is the one great object ever before us, the enlargement of the kingdom of Christ and the celebration of his glory. In everything which relates to this, we are united in bonds of Christian fellowship, in companionship with heavenly intelligences. Because of the light given me, I am fully possessed with the conviction that through your united agencies as sanctified instrumentalities, light shall be reflected to the salvation of many souls that are now in darkness and error. I know you have not lived unto yourselves, but unto him whom you love and whom you serve and worship. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, 33-34. George I. Butler's Desire to Remarry. Elder Butler's first wife died November 18, 1901, leaving him a widower at the age of 67. Even though he had Ellen White's approval, opposition from Mrs. Keck and from Highland Butler, Elder Butler's son, kept him from going forward with his intention to marry Mrs. Keck's sister in 1902. In 1907, at the age of 73, he finally married again. May 1902. Dear Brother and Sister Keck, my mind has been burdened during the night season. I have learned that Brother Butler has thought of marrying Sister Keck's sister. Some of the brethren, in talking with me about this matter, expressed their disapproval, saying that they thought that such a step would hurt Brother Butler's influence, especially should he marry so soon after his wife's death. At the time, I gave the subject scarcely a thought, but in the night season, I was talking with one in regard to the matter, and the subject assumed a different aspect. Then I seemed to be talking with someone else, of whom I was asking the question, "Why do you regard this attachment as so objectionable?" The answer was, "He is so much older than she is." "But," I said, "would it be proper or wise for him to marry a woman of his own age? What help could such a woman be to him in his ministry? At his age, Elder Butler should have the care that only a wife can give. If this young woman has a desire to give him this care, why should anyone forbid her? She is, I understand, about 35 years old. Sister Haskell married Elder Haskell because she was convinced that he needed a helper in his work. The difference in their ages seemed to Elder Haskell to be a barrier against their union. He asked my opinion and advice. I said, "If her mind is drawn out in this direction, do not hesitate. You need the help of a spiritual-minded, intelligent woman who can sustain and encourage you in your work." They were married, and the Lord has greatly blessed their union, making their lives doubly useful to His cause and work. May it not be possible that the hand of the Lord is in this attachment between Elder Butler and Sister Keck's sister. What others may think in regard to this matter is not to find any place in our reckoning. We are to ask, is this union the will of the Lord? May it not be His plan for the increase of the helpfulness and usefulness of each? For many years, because of his invalid wife, Elder Butler has been shut away from the work, cut off from many privileges, prevented from doing the work he might have done. He has cared faithfully and tenderly for his wife, who was weak in mind and body, hampered by affliction and infirmity. When she died, he buried her in sorrow, yet not as a man who is without hope. After his wife's death, he began to plan for his sister, who has been living with him for a few years, to visit her friends as she had desired. But the Lord saw fit to add another sorrow to his life. Very suddenly and unexpectedly, Sister Lockwood, Elder Butler's sister, died. Elder Butler is a man who needs the softening influence of a good, high-principled woman. The companionship of such a woman would indeed be a great blessing to him. Considering his experience for the last 15 years, is it strange that he desires a younger person than himself to love, to converse with?
You do not reason altogether correctly, saith the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord surprises us by His manner of dealing. Elder Butler is strong in physical and spiritual health. The Lord has proved and tested and tried him, as He did Job and as He did Moses. I see in Elder Butler one who has humbled his soul before God. He has another spirit than the Elder Butler of younger years. He has been learning his lesson at the feet of Jesus. After caring so long for his suffering, afflicted wife, he has come forth from the furnace fire refined and purified. I respect and love my brother as one of God's servants. I have no more to say, except that if your sister, being a Christian, is led and taught by God, leave her with God. Do not by human wisdom spoil the Lord's plan and hinder His work. Elder Butler needs the help of a strong, kind, intelligent woman who can cooperate with him in his sphere of usefulness, encouraging him and holding up his hands, aiding him to do a good and acceptable work for the Master. If your sister is that woman, she may feel honored in uniting with Elder Butler. At first, I thought that such a step would hurt Brother Butler's influence, but I have had time to consider the matter, and I now see it in another light. I came to this decision before I had the pleasure of meeting Elder Butler at the time of his visit to my home. I wish you to understand that I have not had one word of conversation with Elder Butler in regard to this matter. He has not made the slightest reference to it. May 23rd, 1902. Dear Brother and Sister Keck, I wish to add a few lines to the letter I have already written you. We had a very profitable visit with Elder Butler. He left us last Wednesday morning for Healdsburg. W.C. White and his wife rode over with him in the carriage. My brother and sister, I wish you to take to the Lord the matter of the union of your sister with Elder Butler. Prayerfully consider your objections, and then, in the light of the words I have written, if your sister is disposed to unite with Elder Butler in marriage, see if you cannot give up your objection, for the reason that this union may be the purpose of God. I see in Elder Butler a man of usefulness, a man of intelligence and Bible study. His ministry would be much more valuable were he united with a woman who could help him in his work. Think of how much more he could accomplish with the help of a discreet, intelligent woman. He should not be left to live alone and to travel alone. The sooner he can find a good wife, the better it will be for his work. A wife could do for him those things that no male companion could do: look after his clothes, see that they are free from dust, and that he is always prepared to appear before large congregations. Would it not be best for you to withdraw your opposition to this union? It is not best for you in any way to oppose that which the Lord may have ordained. It may be that the Lord sees that by this union, your sister and Elder Butler could accomplish more for him than they otherwise could. What people may say has nothing to do with this matter. If it is the Lord's purpose, let us not be found fighting against him. Unwise counsel from a son. I beg of you not to reproach your father. You should not feel as you do, for your father has done nothing that God condemns. His condemnation exists only in the minds of men. He has in no wise dishonored his children. He is keeping the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. The Lord is opening the way before him, that he may do a great and good work for his people. Christ is his Savior, and in beholding Christ, he will be changed into his image. Your father has been a kind, tender husband. For many years he served faithfully her whom he has always loved. Death separated him from the one who for so long has been his special charge. Then his sister was taken from him, and his home was broken up. Is it any wonder that under these circumstances he should, after your mother's death, become attached to a woman in whose conversion to the truth he was instrumental? This woman is not young, but of an age to be a help to him in his work. Should your father's age have stood as a barrier to his happiness? Had your father married this lady, I believe that the Lord would greatly have blessed them both. But I do not think, seeing that the matter has been treated as it has, it will go any further. Those who refuse to sanction this union should remember that one day they must meet the result of their action. But I must leave this matter with those who have been acting a part in it. Testimonies on Sexual Behavior, Adultery, and Divorce, 35-36. Written July 28, 1902, to Highland Butler, George I. Butler's son. Ellen White chose not to remarry.
Since 21 years ago, when I was deprived of my husband by death, I have not had the slightest idea of ever marrying again. Why? Not because God forbade it, no. But to stand alone was the best for me, that no one should suffer with me in carrying forward my work entrusted to me of God. And no one should have a right to influence me in any way in reference to my responsibility and my work in bearing my testimony of encouragement and reproof. My husband never stood in my way to do this, although I had help and encouragement from him, and oft his pity. His sympathy and prayers and tears I have missed so much, so very much. No one can understand this as myself. But my work has to be done. No human power should give the least supposition that I would be influenced in the work God has given me to do, in bearing my testimony to those for whom he has given me reproof or encouragement. I have been alone in this matter, severely alone, with all the difficulties and all the trials connected with the work. God alone could help me. The last work that is to be done by me in this world will soon be finished. I must express myself plainly, in a manner, if possible, not to be misunderstood. When ages widely differ. Another cause of the deficiency of the present generation in physical strength and moral worth is men and women uniting in marriage whose ages widely differ. It is frequently the case that old men choose to marry young wives. By thus doing, the life of the husband has often been prolonged, while the wife has had to feel the want of that vitality which she has imparted to her aged husband. It has not been the duty of any woman to sacrifice life and health, even if she did love one so much older than herself, and felt willing on her part to make such a sacrifice. She should have restrained her affections. She had considerations higher than her own interest to consult. She should consider, if children be born to them, what would be their condition. It is still worse for young men to marry women considerably older than themselves. The offspring of such unions in many cases, where ages widely differ, have not well-balanced minds. They have been deficient also in physical strength. In such families have frequently been manifested varied, peculiar, and often painful traits of character. They often die prematurely, and those who reach maturity, in many cases, are deficient in physical and mental strength and moral worth. The father is seldom prepared, with his failing faculties, to properly bring up his young family.